And he likens it unto a farmer. Now, what farmer do you know would sow seed and then walk away and have nothing to do with the harvest of it? Not even believe for a harvest, just walk away from it. That's not a very good farmer, is it? A farmer sows seed with intention to get a return on it. And with every seed he sows, God has designed it both in the natural and the spiritual that he'll receive a 30, 60, and even a 100-fold return on it. How many of you know when you sow an apple seed, you get an apple tree, you don't get one apple back for that one seed you sowed. You get lots of apples. And so it is in the kingdom of God. When you sow into the kingdom of God, God is expecting you to expect a return on that. Why? Just so you can keep it for yourself? No. Partly it will be that you would grow financially in your area, in your life, but also so that you will have more to give. God intends to cause the finances of this earth to flow through his church into the earth and to bless the earth with it. When it comes through his church, it gets purified. Good things are done with that money. Good things happen. When it goes through the children of the devil, it is not purified. It becomes corrupted, oftentimes, not always, but it becomes corrupted, and they use it for things that are ungodly. God intends for his children to have it. He says, "The gold is mine and the silver is mine, saith the Lord." It's all God's. He put it here. He owns it. And he wants his children to have it and to be a blessing, to show forth God's benevolence in the earth. So the whole concept where people struggle with the area in the area of finances and this whole thing about receiving from God, people struggle with that in the Eastern culture. The Western culture, it is a perversion of the gospel. The message people have heard about it, against it, that God is against you being blessed. It's a perversion of the gospel. Truth of the matter is, God absolutely 100% desires every single one of his children would be blessed financially. I know a lot of people struggle with that, but I'm just giving it to you straight up. That is the word of God. And I would challenge you, if you don't agree with that, to find scriptures to support the other side of that, because they don't exist. The only thing you will find are warnings in the Bible about what riches can do in your life. I grant you that. They're there. But do you know if you buy a car, it comes with a bunch of warnings? If you buy a gun, it comes with warnings. If you do there's a lot of things that come with warnings. Is the manufacturer saying, therefore, you should not own or drive a car? Is he saying you should not own or operate a gun? No. He's just saying there are dangers inherent with this. And so God says when we operate according to his principles and his laws, we'll be fine. That's all he's saying. He's just saying, children, operate according to my laws and my principles, and you'll be good to go. Just like the manufacturer will tell you on the car what to do, what not to do. You know, in the speedometer area, there's that red zone. It tells you to stay out of the red zone, you know, and there's reasons for that. So as long as you stay out of the red zone, as long as you put gas in the gas tank and water in the radiator, not the other way around, et cetera, as long as you occasionally change the brake pads on your car, et cetera, you'll be okay. And you can use this car will be a blessing to you. So it is with finances. God did not leave you down here on this earth to be broke, struggling, unable to pay your bills. And not to mention, if you can't even take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else either. You can't help the poor. You can't feed the people. You can't spread the gospel. It's a lie from hell. The message that God does not want to prosper his people. It literally comes from hell. Because he wants to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. There are two very powerful ways that he does that. Keep God's people sick and keep them broke. And that will stop the kingdom of God from advancing. So, with that said, let us tithe and give offerings in faith. Amen? All right, so the Word of God says this: bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this. Just go ahead and hold on to it for a second. And prove me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And, he doesn't stop there, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall your vine, that which you are operating in to make money, nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations, all the people will look at you and they will say, wow, you are blessed. And then you have a testimony. Yes, it is my heavenly Father who does this for me. And he'll do the same for you. He loves you. He wants to provide for you. He is a provider. Amen. So, Father, we sow now into the kingdom of God, according to your word, standing in faith, Lord, that as we plant this seed, Father, it will go into your kingdom and do great things, and it will return to us 30, 60, and 100 fold. Father, we receive that return in the name of Jesus by faith, Father God. We do not back off in unbelief. We say yes to your word, Father. We say yes, Lord. Let your blessing be upon us as we sow into your kingdom, as we do business with you, Father. We say yes to your blessing upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, that is Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 10. I think I read through verse 12. Hey, last week, now we're going to jump into the message here. Last week, I started talking to you about something that is so exciting to me and hopefully will grow, and I know it will grow to become very exciting to you. Some of you may already be there, but for those of you that aren't, you will. I promise you. By the word of God, you will. And that is a vision that I believe that the Lord has given to me, a plan, a direction, if you will, for this body. It was birthed in me a few weeks ago. It started growing and growing and exploding. And I started getting really, really excited. And now it's like the picture is just getting completed. It's just beautiful. Then on top of that, the Lord has been so gracious to do that, to give me what I now know is his heart for this body, but then has been even more gracious to give me some really awesome confirmations in it. One of which was yesterday, I think it was, and another one this morning. Really, I mean, he just keeps bringing it. No, two yesterday. Two very powerful ones yesterday. Like, it's just, it's really blowing my mind. It's just, I love it. It's just like, you know, when God just gives a signature. You know, it's just so obvious that it's God. I love that. So I really am extremely excited about it. Oh, I forgot. There's some more business, church business I want to take care of before I jump into the message. Eric, would you be so kind as to come up here? Let me introduce you to the church family. Woo-hoo! You be styling today, brother. I love you. I like your look. My precious brother, Eric Wagner. And Eric is the professional photographer in our midst. And I mean the real McCoy. He's an awesome photographer. And I asked him, if we put together a team, which someone else, after they learned who all was on the team, said, you've got a dream team. And we really do, to redesign our website. We are completely revamping our website. It's going to be awesome. So we're literally going to take the one we have and kindly put it into a trash can, and we're going to lift up another one that is going to be really dynamic. It's going to be awesome. So included in a website are a lot of photographs and videos. So I asked Eric if he would be on the team and handle all photos that will go on the website, and he graciously agreed to do it. So we all met at my house two Saturdays ago, I think it was, and we had a very long five-plus-hour meeting. Eric, myself, Peter, and Kelly, they are handling the copy. Andrew, in fact, why don't you two come up here? And is Andrew here? Come on up here, Mr. Drew. Let everyone see the team that's putting together the website very quickly, because we're taking up my preaching time. Come on around here now. We've got to get the team together. All right, so these two have an incredible gift in writing, and I mean really, really awesome, a true gift in writing. So these two are handling the copy. Everything that's going to be written, it's called copyright, and the website, they're handling that. Eric is handling the photo. This is one gifted graphic designer. He's already done several pieces for us as a body, and I'm just blown away by his work. So I asked him if he would be on the team, just as an overview of the design, you know, helping us even like in the color palette and everything, just the look of the website. So Andrew is handling that. Kelly and Peter are handling the copy, and Eric is handling the photos. So the reason I had Eric come up here originally is just to let you know, when he shows up right around you with a camera in your face, just want you to know what's going on. All right, so, and he was, you know, he said, maybe you should tell them what I'm going to be doing, because I'm just going to be going around with a camera. So I just want you to know that. And if you don't want your photograph to be showing up on the website, feel free to let him know you don't really want your photograph. Otherwise, he's going to be shooting away. Amen. So this is the dream team. Now, I'm on the team as well, just to, like, make sure they've got enough coffee. What's that?
You're part of the dream team.
I'm part of the dream. So, yes, I provide the coffee and donuts, and they take care of the rest. So, oh, like what about it? You're going to be in there? Okay, good point. What's that? Okay, good. He's going to be taking a lot of pictures in the children's church as well to kind of get a feel of that onto the website. So he just mentioned, you might want to mention that in case you don't want your children to be on the website. Probably be good to maybe let Ashley know or let Eric know and point out this is Ashley. Would you stand up real quick? That's Ashley. Let her know or let Eric know, and then you have to probably point out who your kids are to them so that your kids will not show up on the website. Amen? All right, glory. We've got some really exciting things going on with it. Yes. There's a company we found called Bridge Element. It's like a ministry. They consider it a ministry to build web pages for faith-based businesses only. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, etc., they won't build a web page for you. This is for, they consider it a ministry, and they do it like really inexpensively. Like they really are about, you know, promoting the kingdom of God. So it's an exciting, it looks like an awesome company. I looked at everything I could to find out everything I could about them, and they look awesome. So we're going to use them. Have you ever heard of them by any chance? Okay. So Bridge Element is going to build a web page for us. They're also going to host it, and at a really incredibly low price. It's awesome. So we're being very good stewards of our money as well. And these guys are all for free, so it's just really awesome. Seriously, that's precious. They're volunteering their time, and it's going to be a lot of time to put this whole thing together. So thank you guys very much. Okay. So yes, amen. Eric said, so probably next Sunday is when he's going to start taking those photos. So we're going to have photos in here while we're worshiping, so don't let it bother you that he's taking pictures. Don't think anything funky about it. It's for the website. We want people, we're considering almost certainly the front page, the home page, is going to be a picture of our sanctuary during worship time. So I want people to be, and my feeling on that was just like, it's like looking into the window of the church as soon as you get on the webpage, which helps people get a real good feel of where they would be visiting as opposed to just words and they don't know anything about it. I think it's a much warmer approach, and it lets people see, you know, even the size of the church, the type of people that are there, etc. So, that's why he's going to be taking pictures in the sanctuary in the middle of worship. So just know that. So dress really nice next week. All right. So here is the vision I believe that the Lord has given for this church. And let me just tell you this. Even though God has been very gracious and has given me very strong confirmation that this is his plan for this body, I want you to know, even if I didn't have that, if I didn't have that word from the Lord, if I didn't have the confirmations that I've been getting, I would still feel really good and really confident about this direction. because this has been the plan of God since the fall of man. It's not a new plan. It's not a new direction. In fact, it's the very reason that Jesus came, and it's why he gave his life. He gave his life for this plan. So we can feel really good about it. This isn't just, you know, some new idea that some pastor came up with or anything like that. This is right out of the Bible, and it is the heartbeat of God. So even without those words that I've received, I would feel really good and really confident about where we're going. This is the real deal. We're really going to do this. We're not just going to talk about a vision and have a big hoo-hoo-ah-ha about the vision. We're really going to do this. So I want you to kind of be mentally preparing yourself for it. Maybe don't try and mentally prepare yourself for it too much right now, because I don't want you to get caught up in fear and all that. Just maybe it's better you just relax about the whole thing and give me time to unpack it. Because one of the reasons I'm very excited about this is because I know what it's going to do for you in your life. If you're not already, and for those of you who weren't here last week, in a nutshell, the vision is, the direction we're going to go as a body is we are going to become a gospel sharing machine. Everybody in this body is going to learn to share their faith with people who do not know God. And you're going to start leading people to the Lord. Now listen, here's the vision I have for this year, just this year. We have approximately 80 people here. My guess is, in the last year, we probably led maybe 10 people to the Lord. I don't know. If we're doing a lot more than I realize, maybe we've led, as a body, maybe we've led 20 people to the Lord last year. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a lot more than that. But I'm also certain it's nowhere near what we're going to do this year. What I'm anticipating is that this year alone, just this year, this body right here, we are going to lead over 800 people to the Lord. Amen? Woo! And that's just the beginning, because we're just going to be getting warmed up. I'm really serious about that. The following year, first of all, I think our body is going to be, you know, considerably larger just by the mere fact that many of those people you lead to the Lord are going to want to know where you fellowship. And by all means, let them know where you fellowship and bring them. That'd be great. That's not really the purpose of we're doing it, but, you know, they also need to be cleaned and discipled and everything else, you know, like clean up the fish, kind of clean. So bring them. But then I believe the next year we're probably going to be looking into the thousands. I don't know if it's 2,000, 3,000, or 5,000, but we're going to be leading that many people to the Lord. Now, listen, I want you to think about this. Imagine where you're going to be and how you're going to feel at the end of this year if you have led 10 people to the Lord this year. And especially considering the vast majority of you have probably never led anybody to the Lord. I say that because that's what the statistics say. The statistics say that less than 2% of Christians ever lead anybody to the Lord. So, just applying those stats to this body, my guess is the majority of you have never led anybody to the Lord. Imagine how you'll feel at the end of this year when you have changed the eternal destiny of 10 people. Now, if you've done that, and if everyone in this body does that, we as a body will have led 800 people to the Lord. Now, I'm also assured of this, that many of you, when you start to do this and you realize how able you are to lead someone to the Lord, you're going to go way beyond that 10. Now, the 10 is less than one a month. I am going to start comprehensive courses on how to lead people to the Lord, strangers that you've never met, how to lead them to the Lord. I don't know how long the course is going to be. I'm putting it together right now. I've already started the curriculum. And I'm just guessing right now that it's probably going to be somewhere between a 6 to a 10 week course. I'm also thinking the way I'm going to do that is right here in the sanctuary, we'll do it before the service starts. I really don't like the fact that we can't start until 11:30, but we don't have any options because we have to wait till the people above are done because they're very quiet in their worship and we're not. So we are very disturbing to them if we were to worship during their service. So, oh, okay. Really? So we make the floor vibrate. Man, I think that'd be awesome. We feel like the power of God. So that's why we have to wait. And so that's been always a little bit frustrating for me because, like, I'm confident in short order. We're going to end up having to go to two services. And it's like, how do you do it? I mean, do we start a second service at 2:00? So then I'm thinking maybe we'll do Saturdays, but I'd like to be able to do an early service. But then I got to thinking, hey, we can utilize this time by having Bible studies in here, basically, because that's quiet. We won't have any music. We'll just do Bible studies. I'll probably just do it unmiked. If that's an issue, I don't know. We'll test that out, see if you can hear me up there. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? So we'll have classes in here probably for like an hour. I'm guessing we'll probably do 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock class right here. And we'll do that. We'll do that for 6 to 8 weeks. And in that, all I'm going to be teaching is how to witness, how to share your faith with other people, how to share Christ with others. And by the time we're done, I assure you, you're going to feel really good and confident about it. It will not only give you all the knowledge that you need to share your faith, you'll realize, oh, I don't need to know the whole Bible to go out and share my faith. Because people have that fear that people are going to ask you a bunch of questions you don't know how to answer. I'm going to show you why that's not true. I mean, they may ask you some questions you don't know how to answer, but I'm going to show you how to handle that. So then you'll realize, oh, that's awesome. I don't need to know the whole Bible. And so by the time we're done, you're going to realize you're quite capable of doing this. And that will cause your fear to dissipate. Then there'll still be a little bit there. I mean, I've led over 1,000 people to the Lord. Sometimes I still have a little bit of fear going on when I go to share with someone. There's just a natural, we have that when we're going to just ask a stranger for directions or something. You know, there's that natural, no one likes to be rejected. So there's that natural fear of rejection. Well, I'm going to address that also, by the way, very hard. So you'll see how I can eliminate 95% of that fear as well, the fear of rejection. But still, there'll be sometimes that tinge. Sometimes I'm actually really excited about sharing with people. I don't have any fear at all. Sometimes it just depends on the surroundings, you know, the circumstances. Sometimes I still have it a little bit. So I'm not saying necessarily it'll wipe out 100% of fear because, you know, we're still human. We still have a little bit of, you know, we don't want to be rejected, that kind of thing. But as a whole, you're not going to be afraid of your ability to tell people about the Lord. That's what we're going to wipe out. And so you're going to be feeling really strong about that. So after you get rolling and you've led that first person to the Lord, is where I was trying to go, you're going to realize that was awesome. Let me just start this message. There is a joy that comes with leading people to the Lord that is unmatched. There's nothing else on the planet that's better than that. So, Bennett, if you would, let's go with the first slide. Let me just try and go through this really quickly. I already covered this last week. I just want to do a recap, and then I'm going to go a little bit further than I did last week. So, this is the commission that Jesus has given to us. He says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to who? Jesus. To the devil? Jesus. Belongs to Jesus. He's got it. He holds all authority. Then he commissioned us. Go therefore. Right? He's saying, you've got me. I'm in you. You now have all authority. The enemy doesn't have the authority. You have it. The only weapon he has is the hope that you don't know that you have it. And then he tries to scare you. Boo! But when you realize that you've got it, you can say boo-hoo. You know. I mean, you just... It's nothing. You just say, hey, get out of my way. Like Jesus did. He didn't freak out when he saw demon-possessed people. He just cast them out. He had authority. He understood he had authority. You have authority. So Jesus gave us the authority. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The next verse is this. That one was out of Matthew. It's the last chapter, by the way, if you notice, it's 28, meaning it's Jesus' final words to his disciples, which, you know, if it's his final words, it's going to be the most important words that he has to share with his people, that he's been already teaching for 3.5 years. Now he's leaving. He's going to share the most important words. And in Mark, you'll see it's also chapter 16, also the last chapter of this gospel. Jesus says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is not the whole of the Bible. The whole of the Bible is not the gospel. This is not the gospel, which a lot of people think it is, and they call it the gospel. And I understand. I mean, to a degree, you can say I preach the gospel, and you're really saying I preach the Bible. But the gospel is a very particular message within the Bible that we are to share with others. It is a very small message. That's what I'm going to be teaching you, is that that's the only thing you need to know. You need to know the gospel and share the gospel with other people. The gospel is the good news, because it's really this simple. I'm going to be saying this in these comprehensive courses that we go through. I'll be saying it a lot. They just don't know. They really don't know. They don't know how to be saved. And that's all we have to do, is share with them how. And the vast majority will be absolutely elated to find it out. You'll find that out. That'll be your experience. I promise you, it will be your experience. They will be elated to find it out. So, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you how to share it. All right, so don't worry. I'm not going to turn you all in. I'm not suggesting I'm going to turn you all into a bunch of Ginsu knife salespeople. That's not what this is about. This is about you being you, 100% you. In fact, to the degree you stop being you, you're going to become less effective. I'm talking about you just being you and sharing the gospel with other people. Now, the next verse says this. Jesus said to them, this is just one way he referred to it. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Jesus saw Simon, whose surname is Peter, and Andrew fishing. They were casting their nets. And he said, you two, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then later he saw John and James. Now, Peter and Andrew were brothers, which I think is really cool, that Jesus called the two brothers to work together in his kingdom. And then he saw John and James, who were also brothers, and they were also fishing, and he said, come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. So, using that analogy is where I came up with this, because this is what I believe was the vision the Lord was giving me for this church. There's a two-step process to it. The first one is preparing the nets, which is our body, getting it ready to receive the fish that God's going to bring to us. And then when the nets are ready, we're going to go fishing. So preparing the nets and then go fishing. That is what we are going to do as a body. Now, I'm expecting every single person who wants to be a part of this, who considers themselves a part of this body, I should say, to go through the course. So I'm going to do it back to back. Let's say it's 10 weeks. I'm going to teach it for 10 weeks. On the 11th week, I'm going to start over. I'm going to teach it for 10 more weeks. At the end of that, I'm going to start over. And I'm going to teach it for 10 more weeks. And I'm expecting you to jump into one of those and learn how to share your faith. Honestly, even if you feel like you're pretty good at it, I'd still like you to come through the course, because at least then you'll also be on the same page as everybody else. And chances are you're going to learn some things from me that maybe you didn't know, things you weren't doing, just as I could learn from you. If you've been leading people to the Lord, chances are I could learn some really neat things from you about how you know, things you've learned that the Lord has taught you. Because we all have a teacher, the Holy Spirit, in us to teach us. So he's probably taught you things that I haven't learned. So, even if you're pretty good at leading people to the Lord, it'd be really good for you to go through the course so we're all on the same page and for you to learn some other things. So preparing the nets, just going through that really quick, that basically consists of five things. One is the children's ministry. We're going to take it way beyond a babysitting situation, and it's going to be a dynamic, truly dynamic children's ministry. By the way, I believe I found the curriculum. Woohoo! Yes, there you are. I should be saying it to you. I keep thinking that you're out there. I believe I found it. I am stoked about it. Wow. Yeah, so we need to talk really soon. I'll share it with you guys, and I want you to look at it. And woo, it's everything that I've been talking about, everything I've been looking for. I mean, as I read this, it's just like it's a God thing. So it's beautiful. So we're going to have a dynamic children's ministry, meaning they're not just going to be learning about Noah and the big fish and the walls of Jericho coming down. We're going to go way beyond that. We're going to be talking and teaching the children about who God is to them, his goodness and his benevolence. They are going to be utterly convinced of God's goodness and his benevolence. And then we're also going to start showing them how to operate in the power of God. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing the sick, etc. Yes, it's going to be awesome. They're going to leave all of us in the dust unless we get on it. They're going to be prophesying. I'm very serious. And this lady that I found, this is what she does. And I was watching a video even of this kid. He's like, I think he was like 2.5 years old, praying in tongues with his parents. And I mean, going for it. I'm like, yes, I love that. I mean, that's how it should be. So I hope I didn't freak anybody out just now. But so we're going to have a dynamic children's ministry. They're going to be prophesying. They're going to be laying hands on the sick. They're going to know the goodness of God before the devil sows the garbage into their ears that so many of us have heard about how God is not really good. He's a withholder. And God's going to beat your brains in. If you just trip up and mess up, he's going to beat your brains in. They're not going to learn that. They're going to learn the truth about our God. One man came up to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Why call me good? There's only one that's good. And that's God. So either call me teacher or call me God." He was calling the guy on the carpet like, "You know, you sound good, but what do you really believe about me?" And he said, "Rabbi." He downgraded it to just teacher. He left off the good. What was he saying? He was saying, well, in that particular case, it's probably not a good analogy. He's really just saying, I don't believe you're God. But if you believe God for who he is, you believe he's good. Because he's good. And Jesus even said right then, there's only one who's good. And what he means by that is truly good. Good all the way through. You can look at God from any angle you want. You can look through him, around him, under him. It's nothing but goodness. That's our God. And that's what you're going to hear from me. And that's what I'm going to be preaching. That's what I've been preaching for 28 years. That God is good. And I've had a lot of rejection over the years because of it. I'll tell you, if you want to receive pushback from preaching, just preach that God is good. Really, really good. Now, you know what? I can say God is good. And probably most of you are going, well, I believe God is good. But as soon as I say he wants you well, physically well, all the time. Well, come on now. God wants you blessed financially all the time. Well, come on. You see what I'm saying? All of a sudden you start backing off, which means you really don't believe it. So I'm not talking a religious God is good. I'm talking the real thing. God is good. All good things come from above, from the Father above, wherein there is no shadow nor variation of turning. If it's good, it came from God. If it's evil, just a couple of verses previous to that, it said, let no man say that it came from God. He says, don't even let it come out of your mouth. That's the God we serve. He is good. Sidetracking. Rabbit.
It's good.
Amen. Thank you. So the next thing we're going to do as far as preparing the nets, we're going to have a dynamic children's ministry, and the kids are going to learn God is good. They're going to get it from the beginning. And the next thing we're going to do is bring uncompromised teaching. As you can see, I'm starting to hold up my end, right? I'm bringing it. The third thing we're going to have are Holy Spirit-empowered worship, which is already happening. Praise God. But it's just going to get better. Derek and Aaron are not satisfied with where we are, and neither am I. And we're pushing it, and we're going to keep pushing it. And if there's anyone here sitting on giftings and talents that God has given you that could help and increase the blessing that's in the worship team, and you're not doing it, I encourage you to speak to Derek and Aaron, please. We're gonna grow. We're gonna rock and roll in worship. And I don't know if that's a good way to say it, but I mean, we want to, when people come here, we want them to enter into the presence of God. And God has gifted people specifically for that purpose, to help bring people into the presence of God. Don't sit on those giftings. God gives you a gift, and the way you give God glory is using that gift to glorify Him. That's how you give God glory with your life. So, the fourth thing we're going to do as far as preparing the nets ready to receive the fish coming in is heartfelt connections. That's what we did in that little 5-minute deal. We're going to do it every week, and that is all of us opening our hearts up. So that when new people come into the church, we're taking the time to get to know them. We get out of our chair and we go over there and say hello to them and get to know them. Give them the opportunity to get connected. Don't just leave them over there cold, not knowing anybody. We need to love on them. There is so much love in the hearts of the people here. Share it. And then the fifth thing is growth building home groups. Home groups that are going to produce tremendous growth in each one of the people in this body. When we're hitting on all cylinders, on all of those, we're going to be ready to receive the fish in abundance, and God will send them to us. We're also going to go out and get them. So what is the going out and getting them? What's the go fishing? Going fishing is what I've already mentioned, is sharing our faith with strangers. That's what we mean by going fishing. Jesus also referred to it as harvesting. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets the woman at the well, right? And the woman at the well is lost. She doesn't know God. She knows of God, but she doesn't have a personal relationship with Him. And He begins to share with her how to have this connection with God, right? Now, Jesus is hungry. All of His disciples are hungry. So His disciples leave to go and get some food. And they come back to tell Jesus, or to bring Jesus the food that they have, right? And what I want to share with you is a spiritual reality of what happens when you share your faith with other people. There is an immense satisfaction that happens from sharing your faith with someone else. And it's a satisfaction, a divine satisfaction that lasts a lifetime. It never goes away. I have a sense about me. I have this constant reality that I am incredibly rich. I am very wealthy. Like I know that about myself. I feel it. I live in this place of knowing I am wealthy. I have this feeling, this sense of wealthiness because of having led over 1,000 people to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like I know when I enter heaven, I will be able to look back and see a crowd of over 1,000 people that are there because I took the time to share Jesus with them. It gives me such a sense of incredible wealth. Like I'm not going into heaven empty-handed. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? That feeling. I'm not going there empty-handed. Well, I'm also, at the same time, I have this slight disappointment going on. Because I know I should be in excess of 10 and 15,000 people by now. But I got really lazy over the last many years. And so I am just as fired up about this. I'm so fired up for you, I'm equally fired up for me. Because it's like firing up the juices in me again to go back out and start hitting it like I used to hit it on a daily basis. The first year that I was saved, I know I led well over 300 people to the Lord. The first year. Because there was rarely a day that went by that I did not lead someone to Christ. And many days I led several people to Christ. So I'm just assuming there were probably several days I did not. So I'm just saying over 300, but it could very well be 400 or 500 people in the first year. And that was just a babe. I just, you know, I mean, I didn't know 1/100th of what I know now as far as just having a little more wisdom on me about how to share my faith with people, you know. I probably offended a lot of people back then unnecessarily, including my family. Wow. I blew the doors off with my family. I just came, you know, bam, I just hit it hard. You need to know Jesus. You know, I mean, a lot of knowledge, no wisdom. And so it wasn't a great approach. Yeah. You remember. There are literally two people sitting in this church right now that were part of receiving that knowledge with no wisdom. Yes. Woo! Amen. Literally, do you remember, guys, I don't know if I think I've shared it here. I had a full-on open-eyed vision on the road from Florida to Ohio. I was driving down the freeway, and God gave me this vision. Raise your hand if I've shared that here. Where I saw my mom's living room and all these people sitting in the living room. Do you know? Raise your hand if you heard that. Okay, there's about 10 of you have heard it. Well, one of those people that was in that vision that was sitting in that living room is sitting right here in the church right now. Hello, Ellen. No, Pete was not there. Yeah. Remember when you were at that time that you and Kiki and Louise and John and, Kiki and Gary and Louise and all that came into my mom's house and I was teaching you guys about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and everyone got up in the middle of it and left? That's the vision I'm talking about. So Ellen was one of them. She was there. So anyhow, it is immensely satisfying to lead someone to Jesus. And it really does last a lifetime. It's a joy that it's like nothing else. It'll be with you forever. There's a diadem placed in your crown for every time you lead someone to the Lord. There is nothing that makes God happier than for his children to share his son with someone else who doesn't know about Jesus. And God is elated about it, and he blesses you. He crowns you. He rewards you. In fact, look at this. When Jesus shared with this woman, and he was hungry previous, and the people came back to talk to him, his disciples came, they had food. What did Jesus say to them? They said, look, master, we have food. And he says, I have food to eat of which you know not of. And the disciples looked at each other and said, "Who did someone give him food that we didn't even know about?" And what Jesus said in the next verse is, my food, not the next verse, but the next verse I have on here. It's a couple verses down, actually. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. You notice he literally calls it food because it is satisfying. It is fulfilling. It really is. I've done it many a time. I'll be hungry, starving hungry, and I'll be, you know, going down the road. I end up connecting with someone. I start talking to them, and I start sharing Christ, and I'll be there with them for 2 hours. And I walk away from there just walking on a cloud. I'll go 5 more hours before I realize, oh, yeah, I still haven't eaten. I'm just completely elated with the fact that this person's eternal destiny has just been altered forever. I told you, I think last week, that 2 weeks ago, I shared with a woman about Christ. She prayed with me. She accepted Christ. 3 days later, she was gone. I just went to her burial. 3 days later, I took about 10 minutes and changed the eternal destiny of that precious woman. 10 minutes. Changed where she went for all of eternity. I was just listening to a prophecy or a guy that died and went to heaven. I was watching his video yesterday. He died and went to heaven. Really did die. Really did go to heaven. Well, where he was is kind of weird. I don't really quite get where he was. But he saw Jesus up ahead of him, and there was a line of people. And they were all talking to the Lord. And then when the Lord would speak to him, they would enter in right through him. He said, I would just watch him go right into Jesus. Would just go right into him and just disappear. And he said, but I kept looking to the left, and I saw this line of people on like a moving conveyor belt. And then they would just go down into this place of complete darkness. And I was just watching them go, and I just kept watching them, and I'm watching this line, and watching them, watching this line. And I was listening to the testimony of each one of these people in front of me. And then it was my turn. And the Lord said, wait, I want you to go back. He said, the enemy took you out before your time. And I have work I want you to do. And he's like, Lord, I don't want to go back. This is what I've been wanting all the time. I just want to be with you. And the Lord says, okay, I'm gonna ask you to look over there one more time. And then you tell me if you want to come and be with me, and I will let you. Or do you want to go back and help them? And he said, the man turned and looked one more time. And he just watched the people falling into this abyss. And his heart broke. And he said, Lord, if I can go back and save one of them, it's worth it. I'll go back. And the Lord touched him. Bam, he was back in his body and good. And that man now has led many, 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 many people to the Lord. But it's a very real thing. So here's what God says about those who lead people to Christ. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. There is great reward, great benefit from leading other people to the Lord. Don't be afraid of that. Don't back off of that. Don't say, well, I don't even want to be thinking about that. That's not the motivation. That's not why we do it. But it's a reality that God is not afraid to tell us about. He says there's great reward in leading people to the Lord. So going fishing is two things. It's really one thing. It's sharing our faith. And I'm just saying we're going to do it in two ways that I believe I have from the Lord right now. One is going to be sharing our faith with strangers. And the other one is, that's interesting. That lays out totally different up there. Oh, yeah, that's all messed up. What's up? Are we using Keynote? No? Yes. Yes.
I think your screen's probably wider than the projector.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
But we could change the resolution on this and make it the same? Do you think?
No. Not
Keynote. Bummer. Hey, I make it much prettier than that. See, look, it's a lot prettier.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Isn't that a Okay, so outreaches also that attract people. One of those are skits. I want to go to different parks, different public places when it warms up, and do plays and skits that draws crowds. And then once the crowd is drawn, and the skit's going to be related to something very heartfelt, you know, making them think about their life. I mean, it's not going to be like we're going to do something completely unrelated and then all of a sudden, hey, I want to share Christ with you. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be, I don't know if it'll be real obvious that it's gospel related or not, but it's going to be talking to their heart about what's your life about, you know, something like that. And then I'm going to step up to the microphone and share with the crowd Christ. And what it means to be born again. And that you must be born again to enter heaven, right? And I'm going to share to crowds. So that's going to be another way we're going to lead people to the Lord. And then after I've done that enough times and there's someone else who says, hey, I'm good, I want to do that, I will gladly step back. Because that's really what I want, is for you guys to be doing it. Now, let me wrap it up with this. And I know I'm already over, but this is important that I cover this real quick. I want you to think about this. Write these scriptures down. You think about it for this next week. And we're going to get into it even heavier next week. You might say to yourself, isn't that the preacher's job? And here's my answer to that. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to write these down. I want you to read them. This is the reality about, is that the preacher's job to go and preach the gospel? Jesus said, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Right? So that's the preachers that we're talking about. The fivefold ministry. What did he give them to do? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Right? My job as part of the fivefold ministry is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It's not for me to be going out there and preaching the gospel, although I am also just as responsible because I'm part of the body. But I'm saying, in the office of the fivefold ministry, my job is to equip you to go out and do it. And that's exactly what I intend to do. I'm going to equip you to share your faith. And we as a body can very easily lead over 800 people. You know what we're doing? We are snatching 800 people out of the jaws of hell itself. That's what we're going to do this year as a body together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it says that this is what the fivefold ministry is to equip you. That's my job, to equip you to go out and do the work, right? Now look at the next verse. What is that ministry? In case it's not real obvious there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 describes what the ministry is. And I'll wrap it up with this. So just write this down. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. It says this. Therefore, in case you're thinking, well, that's talking about still the fivefold ministry going out, which I don't know how you could get that out of that, but just in case you're thinking that. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. So who's he talking to? The fivefold ministry? The whole body. If anyone be in Christ, that's who he's talking to. Anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ into life. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now all things have become new, right? Now we're owned by God. So it says, so now all things are of God. And what did God do? God was in Christ. It says that God reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. And he has given to us the ministry. What ministry? This is what the fivefold ministry is supposed to be equipping the saints for the ministry. What is the ministry? This verse of scripture describes it. The ministry of reconciliation. And then he goes on to describe it. Next verse says this, and I just left that tagline on there so you can see it. Has given us the ministry of reconciliation, because I couldn't fit it all in one slide. That is, he says, let me describe what that is. Let me describe what I mean by that. In other words, when he says that is, in other words, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to us, and has committed to us the word or the message of reconciliation. We have been given by God, we've been commissioned by God with a message of reconciliation, right? Now then, therefore, we are ambassadors. That's what he calls us. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. He is. He's pleading through us to the lost, those that are lost. He says, as though God were pleading through us, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our message. That's what I'm going to be teaching you in that course, is exactly what your message is. It's not you sinner. It's not God's angry with you. That's not the message. The message is be reconciled to God. He's not angry with you anymore. Jesus took away God's wrath. It's an open door to come to him. He loves you. He wants you to be in his presence. That's our message. That's what we share with him. Real quickly, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic representative by one country or government to represent it in another. Isn't that awesome? That's what an ambassador is. We are not of this earth anymore. We are in this world, but not of this world. We have another government that we live by, that we represent, the government of God. We represent that government, and he has given us a message. We're not supposed to be going out and sharing some other message, like God is angry with you. That's not the message from our government. We're supposed to be sharing his message. So we are that representative. A second definition, an official agent with a special mission. That's what an ambassador is, and that's what we are. Now, in case just this quick verse, write this down for the lack of time. I don't think I'm even going to read it, but it just describes the Old Testament saints, how they recognized that they were strangers. Look at the bold print. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They seek a homeland. And it says, but now they desire better. That is a heavenly country. They, the Old Testament saints that God puts in the hall of faith, the ones that he says, these guys had it. They understood it. They themselves understood all along that they were from another country, a heavenly country, and that they're here temporarily as strangers in this land. And that's what we are. We are now of another country once we accepted Christ. And we are ambassadors of that country or that government here to share God with these with those that have not yet come into that country. To reconcile. What's it mean to reconcile? We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. It means this: to make friendly again or win over to a friendly attitude. That's what it means to reconcile. To settle or a quarrel or dispute. What's he talking about? There was this anger between God and man because of sin. Jesus came and took all of the wrath of God on him. It's now gone. And people just don't know that. Our job is to reconcile them to God, to show them there's no more fight between you and God. God has poured out his wrath on his son. He doesn't have any more for you. He has nothing but love and acceptance for you. Would you like to receive his son into your life? That's the message of salvation. So that's also my message for this Sunday. I apologize if I've caused any problems and inconvenience for you guys by going over. I try not to go over this long, but anyhow, this is where we're going to go as a body. I believe in probably 6 months from now, you may be a little bit behind schedule. You've only led one or two people to the Lord. And then the last 6 months, you'll make up for it and you'll lead another 8 people to the Lord. But by the end of the year, everyone in this place will have led 10 people to the Lord. And we will, as a body, have led 800 people to the Lord. And next year, we will ramp it up even bigger than that because you will become disciplers and you will teach other people how to do what you're doing. And we will just keep growing. We are going to serve the King. He desires that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How's that going to happen? He's counting on us to do it. Now, don't feel heaviness by this whole thing. It's an exciting, beautiful thing. I'm going to give a lot of instruction. You're going to feel confident doing it. You're going to do it. I'm even going to have someone film me in the streets leading people to the Lord. So you'll be able to watch those films and watch it happening. And that will gain a lot of confidence for you. You'll say, man, that's easy. I mean, he's not saying anything really fancy. You know, you'll see how easy it is because they're hungry. Jesus said, you say that the harvest is 4 months off. I say to you, look, for the harvest is ripe. It's white and ready. Right? He says, it's ready. He's talking about the people. They are ready. They're more ready now than they've ever been for the truth. They want to hear the truth. They really, really do. Not everyone, but the majority of them are ready. And God will prepare their hearts. He's already prepared their hearts, and he will show you who to go to. It's the other thing I'll be teaching you, how to be led by God, who to witness to. So, amen. That's it. Worship team, you want to just kind of bless us with some more beautiful music. Father God, we thank you for your heart in this. We thank you for what you've done on the cross so that we can now go out with a beautiful message of salvation and share it. Father, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon this body and bring us into this place, Father, comfort. Lord, that you would raise up a standard against any fear that the enemy would try and sow in their hearts. And just let peace be upon us, Father God, to enter into this beautiful thing that you have called us to. We will cross over the Jordan, Lord, trusting, knowing that you will go before us and part the river. And we will walk on dry land. And we will enter into all the blessings of the Lord on the other side of this river. This river of sharing our faith with strangers. Father God, that we would become spiritually employed with you, doing the work of the kingdom, no longer just warming a pew, Father, but actually doing you came and gave your life for. Father, let your grace be upon everyone in this congregation right now, Father. That your peace would comfort and guard their hearts and their minds, Father, regarding this whole vision, this whole direction that we're going to go into. Lord, that they would be excited, not just even at peace, but excited about it, Father.